Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Pam, and together we are
Dosticas in Design. We are friends, fangirls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
Past two episodes, we've been talking about mindset. And I believe this is the last episode we have scheduled, like following this topic, which has coincidentally also happened to be during Mental Health Awareness Month. So we hope a lot of people can benefit from these conversations we've been having.
Yeah, for sure. So today we are going to be talking about fear of success.
I remember when I first heard of fear of success and I'm like, what? Who would be like afraid of that?
So do you feel, I think we kind of touched on this last time, but have you ever felt fear of success?
So for years, I did not. For years, I had more of a fear of failure and I had some other negative mindsets around a lot of things, but not fear of success. If anything, I was kind of like, I wish I had that fear because it means I'm being successful. But I noticed a couple of months ago, I was getting very worried about how I was going to like someone booked me for a project and I was trying out some new strategies and I was really worried. I'm like, oh no, like, am I even good enough to take on this project? Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it on time or if we're going to be able to do this. And I started realizing that I was starting to set a lot of excuses for like someone that like they already booked me. And then I started to set excuses and be like, I don't know that I actually can like live up to that. Like, I don't think that I'm actually good enough to work at that level. And then I realized like, wait, am I setting up excuses because people want to work with me? And I'm like, wait, is this what fear of success looks like? And sometimes I'm afraid, like, am I like booking too many projects for 1 week? Like I'm starting to like it feels weird. It's like, wait, why am I worrying about this? Like, this should not be an issue. The issue has always been like, how do I get people to book me? And now that they're booking me, I'm like setting all sorts of like strange excuses in my head. And it's like, wait, is this what fear of success is like? It's like, I'm afraid that I won't be able to handle it now that I'm starting to have clients and more often that my schedule is booking out more. And it's been a very strange thing to feel. But the moment I became aware of it, again, like when you become aware of it, it's kind of like you start draining its power and it doesn't have as much power over you. But yeah, for a while I was like concerned. So it was a strange experience.
I agree. It's a strange experience. And I also think that depending on the scenario, it's hard to tell the difference between one and the other, fear of failure and fear of success. But it is real. And I think that both can become a barrier, you know, between you and what you want to accomplish. I honestly don't know which one is worse, but I had a similar experience. You know, when I am overwhelmed with things to do and a lot of responsibilities, and you know, if I stress out too much, I stop working. Like, I stop working. I'm paralyzed by all the stress and overwhelm. And this is usually when I drop things, you know. I'm not talking about clients or anything, but just like things in life, you know. I've dropped classes in college because, you know, I was overwhelmed with work and stuff like that. So I have learned to know myself, you know, how much I can handle. And I have noticed it like in a smaller scale. When somebody asks me for like a quote or a budget on, you know, about something they want to do, some design or something, and I feel myself, I feel fear of them saying yes, because I feel like it's not a good time for me. And it's happened a couple of times. I did hold two workshops really close together at the beginning of the year. And the first one I had to cancel because only one person was interested in it. And I kind of feel like I brought that on myself. I was so tired because I had done so much in the last 2 weeks before that. I was wrung out. I was exhausted. I was relieved. I was actually happy it was canceled. And so I realized I was terrified of it actually happening. And I was like, wow, I'm really doing this to myself. And so I did a lot of journaling so I could learn from that experience. And I would avoid situations like that. But it can become really crippling too. And it can really hold you back. Because it's like, you don't really realize, but you sort of know your own potential, but you are afraid that you won't be able to handle it, or that it will be difficult. Because I think that deep down inside, you know that you could do it, but it's going to be hard. And that's what you don't want to do. That is my experience.
Yes, like other negative mindsets, I just feel like it just plays on our confidence. Because like fear of failure is the feeling of like, why should I even try if I'm probably not gonna succeed, like if it's gonna turn out bad. And fear of success, it's like, okay, now that I actually am given the chance that I wanted, I don't know if I can actually handle it. Or at least that's how I understand it. And both of them are really just like playing on our confidence, like just like telling us that we're not good enough to do something, or that we don't have enough time, or we just don't know how to do it. So it's interesting because like they're very similar, but also very different. But another thing that they all have in common is that really they're just different ways of anxiety to show up in our lives. Because that's what they really are. It's like thoughts that are being put into our head about things that may or may not happen. They're just like going for the worst case scenario right away when it might not even be applicable. And that's really what anxiety is about. And that's really just a matter of mental health. So it's not even that we don't have enough confidence, it's that something in our brain is off, and so it's making us think that we don't have enough confidence. And I feel like just becoming aware of all of this is like the first step, and a very important step to help us manage negative mindsets.
Mm-hmm. I think that well, of course, it is. Anxiety is like the stress from something that hasn't even happened or that might not even happen. And we let it paralyze us into not taking action. And I have experienced this so many times. But there are ways to get over it. And I do think that you can do planning. There are like tons of techniques that you can do to overcome it. It doesn't mean that you're going to be like super confident all the time, but there are things that will let you overcome that barrier, and you will feel yourself lighter and more positive, and you know, better prepared to face whatever challenges might come. Are you aware of what things you do or have started doing or have done in the past to kind of overcome this fear of success?
Well, like there's a lot of different things I've tried. I just remembered something, and I'm looking it up because I'm gonna put it as my recommendations later on the podcast. But from simple things like affirmations, and try to make them a habit, and include them into like my daily routine, add them to my journaling and to like meditation time. That helps a lot. Like I said, like the first step is awareness. And I feel like just being aware and being able to recognize what's happening to me already helps a lot, because then I can tell myself, oh, you know, you're just being paralyzed by a negative mindset again, or you are having like anxiety related thoughts again. So I can take different steps. Like journaling is definitely one that goes with the awareness, because sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I have a negative mindset around this project that I want to do, but like why? So the journaling helps me find out why and try to like find the root of the problem, whether it's a negative belief that I have inside of my head for some reason. I can try to find like why that belief started growing in my head so I can address it. And I think like this is something that I feel I mentioned in the other two episodes as well, but just like having a support system and having people around me that help me. Because one thing is like to tell myself like, oh no, Sarah, like that's not true. You know, that won't happen. And another thing is when we actually hear it and we get external validation from someone else. And when they tell us like, that is not true, you are like, you're not going to mess up this, or you know exactly how to do that, you don't have to worry. Our mind tends to take those comments more serious than when they come from ourselves. And so that's a big help. And working, I don't know, I feel like every year I work on at least on a couple of challenges or workshops or other type of events or activities that I joined that are related to my mindset and to my mental health. And I feel like having that, like every couple of months to do something related to it helps our health as well, because then we're like staying on top of things and we're helping ourselves like prevent things from getting worse or prevent mindsets from creeping on us in the first place. So I feel like those are things that help me. What about you?
Wow, those are great and plentiful. And I agree. I mean, it might be because we are sort of similar in our personalities, but these are things that help me too. For me, journaling especially, because sometimes, and I'm sure you can relate, I feel things very intensely. And that's like very overwhelming. But I've noticed that sometimes I just limit myself to feel and not do anything about it or not try to understand why I'm feeling that way. So journaling is a practice that has definitely helped me just, you know, dive deep, kind of like analyze and meditate about what I'm feeling, trying to understand it. And it sounds, I don't know, I understand why some people might feel like that's not going to help them, but it is incredible. Like just dwelling on that feeling, letting it be felt and trying to understand where it comes from. You may not always understand everything, but it is very helpful to understand yourself a little better. It helps you overcome whatever challenges or whatever barriers come up. So that's something that helps me a lot. And I feel that all these habits, they should become bad habits, because I have had moments in which or challenges that I do in journaling, and then I'm all motivated and, you know, I want to overcome this success or this failure or whatever mindset, you know, is blocking me from reaching my goal. And, you know, if I get distracted and don't focus on these things for a while, I notice that I start feeling the same way again. So it's really easy to lose focus. And there's nothing wrong with being afraid. I think everybody does at some point, especially if it's something that you really want or that is important to you. But these are things that have worked for us. And I recommend doing them, because I know some people, they need, and also like the support system, talking to somebody else. Either, like you said, to hear positive things from someone else or just have someone listen to you and kind of validate what you're feeling, not feeling like you're crazy, is also very helpful. And it kind of helps put the emotion behind you, you know. Those sort of things can help me be like, okay, so that's what's going on, this is what I'm feeling, and it lets me look beyond that. So
I have two comments. First one is talking about the way we specifically are. Like, we've talked about personality types a lot here. We've talked that we're both INFJs, and a lot of the results that we get in our personality types actually do tell us that we tend to worry more. I remember we read specifically we tend to sleep bad at night when we know something's happening in the morning important. I remember reading and thinking oh yeah, that's totally me. And so I feel like you said, getting to know yourself and already knowing I don't really know that I worry about this and this, but that I don't have to worry about it when I actually get those thoughts. If we begin to know ourselves and we can understand ourselves, then we can also recognize those signs better and be oh yeah, I'm worrying about that again, but I already know that I always worry about those things and there's actually nothing to be worried about. And the second thing is that I think we haven't talked until today about prevention, about how to not get to the point where we need all those help to begin with. Like we said, negative mindsets really come from issues with our mental health. And so the things that we can do to help our mental health are the things that are going to help us not have these blocks in our mindset. So things when we're tired, when we're not sleeping properly and are just feeling tired, then it's way more likely that our brain is going to act against us. When we are not taking enough vitamin B, we're not spending enough time outside and under the sun and letting our mind clear off for a second and just breathe in nice air outside. Things like eating properly or exercising. And if you know me, you know that I'm not someone that exercises a lot or that it's super great. But at least I try to be intentional about going at least 5 minutes outside and playing with my dog a bit, a bit of movement, disconnecting from things for a bit. And all those little things, they add up and they help us. Because the moment that we're working too much, that we're letting ourselves become overwhelmed with work, that's when all of these negative mindsets start to pop up more often. They might still be there even if we do all the things, but they're gonna be small and they're gonna be easier to control and easier to recognize. But the moment that we let ourselves go, they can take over really everything that we do. And that's important to know. Both Pam and I love self-care, but let's remember that self-care is not just about, I'm gonna put on a nice face mask today and watch Netflix. The intention is that you are taking time for self-care because you are giving yourself a break, you're giving your mind a break, you're giving yourself time to rest. And if you do that intentionally, not just for the sake of Instagram worthy stories or anything like that, the goal is to actually rest. If anything, taking a break from social media can be self-care as well. And so taking those decisions to help us disconnect, that's gonna help us with our mental health and with our mindsets as well.
That's true. I read a post, I don't even remember. It was on Instagram somewhere. I guess it's something I've always known, but self-care is important. It's part of our mental health, but it's not always pleasant. You know what I mean? Sometimes caring about yourself means doing something that's going to be hard for you. And to me, it looks more like that recently, or just right now, doing things that are probably that I would rather be watching TV or relaxing, but there are things that I need to do for myself that are self-care, that are not exactly comfortable or that I don't want to do. But if you do them, they're going to be good for you, you know? In my case, it could be, well, exercising is hard. I mean, right now, the weather is so nice, I actually want to go out and walk, but usually, like, working out feels like, just like, you know, like a drag. I don't want to do it. But then when I do it, I feel great about myself. It could be, you know, for somebody else, it could be, breaking up with someone who's, you know, not good for you, or self-care may lead you to realize something that you're doing that is not good for yourself. And those kinds of things are not necessarily pleasant. They're not necessarily relaxing, but they will bring you rest, probably emotional rest. So I think that self-care isn't as easy as we believe. Those things help us because they bring reflection. But if we're not like dwelling on these things or taking time for ourselves constantly, we let all these mindsets and things kind of just get a mess in our minds. And it's really hard to, I don't know, to understand ourselves or to see things clearly. So I think this just came up because of what you said, because I think it's an excellent point. But it is important to take care of your mind, you know, take care of yourself if you are going to succeed at the things they want the most, because the world we live in is really overwhelming, especially if you dwell on social media. This is hard and it can be very discouraging. And I understand that, but if we don't take time for ourselves or disconnect or do whatever it is we have to do, we're never going to make it. So, yeah.
I'm so glad you made that point, because I think there are a lot of times that we don't recognize that, but it is self-care, where, yeah, like sometimes it's about taking hard decisions within our work, within our life. Sometimes it's like even like telling a client that we can't work with them anymore because it's taking way too big of a toll. And it's like sacrificing potential money that we would have made with them for our sanity. Or sometimes it's closing our Facebook group, which is something I had to do recently. I had to cut down on a lot of things we were doing at work because I was way too tired all the time. And so I had to close my Facebook group, which was something I didn't really want to do. But I realized, and it just kept coming up, like that's one of the things that is wearing me out. So having to do that, having to just like readjust the way we work, it's not necessarily easy, but it's what our health needs. And at the moment it's hard, but afterwards you'll be glad that you did it because it's always going to be better when you prioritize your health, because then you'll be able to focus again on the things that you really need to focus on in your business.
And I also wanted to add that, you know, related to the fear of success, I strongly believe that you'll never know unless you try. So, you know, it's no use being afraid of something that hasn't even happened yet. It's no use of being afraid of a big idea. If you sit down and plan properly and are diligent, there's no reason why you shouldn't, you know, succeed. I also think it's we have a conflictive relationship with the word success and the concept of it, because sometimes, and I think you talked about this last time, we have an idea what success should look like for us by looking at other people, and also society or just the world around us tells us of what success should be. A couple of weeks ago, I think, I'm going to tell you a funny story. I have so many ideas of products that I want to launch, and I just, you know, I don't I start them or I have them or I think about and I talk to people and I just don't get started when I'm by myself. And right now I'm staying with my cousin and her husband. We were talking about Procreate. He really likes it. He doesn't use it for work, but we're talking about Procreate. And he's like, you have to sell something today. And I was like, I'm not going to sell something today. Like, I don't have any products. And we were talking about this for a few days. And then I don't know what happened. I was like, fine, fine. I'll sell something this week or I'll come up with a product. And I kind of took on the challenge. And on Saturday morning before Mother's Day, I started designing a Mother's Day product that I could sell in my Etsy shop. It was just like a printable or something, you know. And I did. I posted it by Saturday evening. I kind of just made a story on Instagram. I didn't sell one of them, but I felt successful nonetheless. So I think I was kind of focused on the process, you know, on doing it, on not being afraid of doing it and just, you know, whatever it took, just kind of meeting the goal of, I mean, he did say sell something and that was the goal. But to me, it was more like of having the courage to do it, you know, list it, and then kind of just show it on Instagram, which all of it is really hard for me. I really liked it. I think I might come up with another version of it for Father's Day, and maybe with more time, I might actually sell some of them. But it wasn't complete success, but I felt better for having tried, you know, for having done it. So I don't know, sometimes we forget that, I don't know how to put it, but just, you know, the process, the learning experience, the courage it takes to do something, this is going to make it easier for me to do it again. So I still felt pretty good about it, even though I didn't sell any of them, but it was a nice challenge and I took it. So sometimes life is like that, you know, we feel like something has to come of it, something specific, and if it doesn't, then we feel like a failure, and then we're afraid, and we have all these scenarios in our mind. So sometimes you just have to start doing it and just, you know, learn on the go.
And then there's also the fact that Mother's Day in Costa Rica is in August, so you can remarket that.
That's true. I do have some following that is not from Costa Rica on Instagram, so I thought maybe, you know, it was a long shot. I know, I knew it, but it was the fact of taking on that challenge, just sell something, and I think I just took it as just make something, and I did.
And you know,
so I'll get better at it.
I think a big part of it is not seeing something that isn't necessarily successful, that doesn't make it a failure either. Exactly. It's just an experiment. And it's just like trying out something new. And you learn from everything you do, you learn something. So whatever it is that you do, I feel like there's not going to be any what ifs if you try it out. And
exactly.
Maybe you learn whether it's something you want to try to do again or not. And that already is enough of a win. So
mm-hmm.
it really helps to have that approach to things, as in like, okay, now I don't have any what ifs. Now I know what will happen, or what could happen, because really it's not, the outcome's never going to be the same either. So thanks for sharing that, because yeah, that is very true. I learned from a local coach about breakthrough sessions, and those are sessions to help you find negative beliefs that you've created in your mind, like how to find them, how to address them, and how to reframe them so that you can start working on making a negative belief into a positive belief about yourself. And it's got quite a bit of steps. So this is like very general, but it's kind of like you like ground yourself, you breathe in, you like come to a state where like you're feeling calm, you're feeling there's no distractions, and you start thinking, you start with a question, and like you want to address something, like why am I afraid of launching this, or why am I having such a hard time focusing on this project, or like you just like go to the question that's blocking you right now. Like, what is the mindset that is blocking you? What is it related to? And go from that. And so you start asking yourself that question, and then you start thinking about what happened in the past that brings you to this moment. And often it's like little things from when we're little that somehow, when we're kids, we don't process things sometimes like the real way. We just like assume things, and our little kid's brain just like, it's like, oh, okay, that means that we are this. Or, okay, that means that if I do this, that's going to happen. And that's like a little belief that gets stuck somewhere in our head. And maybe we even forget about that memory, but the belief is still there affecting us. So these breakthrough sessions are about like pinpointing those moments, and like doing it once is not going to help. Like, you have to do it several times so that you can like start putting together, like, why is my frame wired this way? And this goes very much with like learning to understand ourselves as well, because we're like really starting to see like, oh, all these years, that's why I thought this. And it's interesting how a lot of the times those memories that we have are not even like accurate. Because as kids, we made a lot of stuff up in our mind. But those things are sometimes affecting us now as grownups, and we don't even like make the connection at all. So it's a good exercise to do. And in the recommendations, I'm gonna tell you a bit of where you can find it. But I feel like that can be a very good help to help you with mindsets, with fear of success. Right now I'm taking a money course by the same coach, and so we were working on this yesterday, breakthrough sessions about like our beliefs around money and where they come from. And I think it's in general like just like a good mindful practice to know about, because it can be applied to so many things.
That's super interesting. I like it. I do think that knowing oneself is just like a whole journey that is never going to end. I find it fascinating, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. But yeah, thanks for sharing. That's really cool.
I feel like,
but you know, what I want to say is my recommendation, actually. So, no.
Okay. So I just want to wrap up a bit because this is our last episode around the topic of mindset for now. This is a topic that we probably will touch in again on a lot of other topics. Sure. It will keep coming up again and again, but we really wanted to create this little series approaching different aspects of negative mindsets. Because again, we feel like awareness is such a big step, and talking about these topics just helps create awareness in general. So don't be afraid to share with others when you're feeling like you're not good enough, when your confidence is down, when you're feeling any type of negative thoughts around your work, around your life, around the things that you want to do or you do not want to do. The best thing to do about it is talk to a friend, talk to your family, talk to a professional, but really just get it out, because that's the first step of acknowledging it and understanding how you can work on yourself to make it go away. So with that, we're gonna head to our recommendations. Do you wanna start, Pam?
Yes, sure. I would like to recommend a podcast. Okay, I think you're recommending a podcast too, but it's not the same. One of my favorite podcasts, it was actually a podcast I started, can't remember how I started listening to this, but and maybe some people have heard of it, but it's called The Creative Pep Talk by Andy J. Pizza. So if you're a creative, it's a podcast you want to listen to. And it came to me because I'm not up to date, I haven't heard it in a while. There are so many episodes, but he talks a lot about just stuff like this. It's actually more than that. It's a little crazy, but it's so good. Like, I've had these insights just listening to, you know, to his ideas and to the people he interviews too. It's really inspiring. If you're a creative, this is a podcast that can help you have, you know, kind of just And I don't know how to explain it, kind of analyze and understand yourself a little better in relation to your creativity in your work, specifically, which can be hard sometimes. And just his vision on everything is amazing. So I recommend it. There are a lot of episodes. I haven't heard all of them, but his content to me is very accurate, is very motivational. It really is like a pep talk. So I think you should try it out.
That's true. I actually have not listened to that podcast, but I've heard the host of the podcast being a guest on other. Uh-huh. And he really does sound like a very, like kind of person that really would help you, like, yeah, feel motivated.
He does. Just listening to him is like, it kind of just, you know, pumps you up because he has like this energy and I really enjoy it. And it's one of those podcasts, there's another one, that whenever I'm feeling down with my creative work or my business or anything, kind of just lifts me up and helps me like overlook everything and focus on, you know, what I know is going to make me progress. So that's my recommendation. Also, like, I know we're not experts or therapists or anything, but like you said, there is a lot of value in listening to other people's experiences, and which is why we touch on topics like this. And also I recommend things that have helped us or, you know, been, or, you know, just helped us through this journey. So
when I think quick disclaimer, like Pam said, like, we're not professionals on any of this. We can just give you advice on what we know, but really we do believe that talking about it helps. But if you need professional help, please look up for professional help, because that's why they're there. Like, they're going to mm-hmm. know things much better than we do, and they're going to know things that are specific for you. So, yeah, but I just feel like talking about this is always just a good thing. And kind of like moving towards my recommendation, podcasts, I feel like, have been such a good way for me to relate to people. There's so many podcasts where, like, I seriously feel like I know them. They have no idea who I am because I never interact with, like, the community of podcasters. But really, both Pam and I like the Honest Designer show. I think Pam even recommended it before in another episode.
I don't know, maybe. I love it.
But the thing is, I feel like they're so real. And they're not afraid of talking about the issues that they face, problems that they face, how they felt about it. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that these people are like someone that I think are super successful. They're like amazing at what they do. And they felt like this too. So there's hope for me. And really, the Honest Designer show, they do this quite a bit. Like, they've talked about imposter syndrome. They talk about anxiety. They've talked about burning themselves out, being overwhelmed. And I've learned so much from them. I think they're amazing, and I highly recommend their podcast. If you need, like, you feel like you need to listen to see more in the industry leaders that are like real about how the process really is. Like, it's not like, oh, you work really hard and then you're at the top and make a lot of money. Like, no, they actually like go down. They talk about the embarrassing things that's happened to them, and makes me feel better about the embarrassing things that happened to me. So
they're very honest. Seriously, the Honest Designer, their show, they're very honest, and it's just so easy to relate. It's fascinating to their name. To be able to relate to people that have been on their industry for so long, they have, I mean, and talk about experience, you know. Like, the, and also like their relationship is like, it's just really enjoyable to listen to them like talk to each other, but all the experience they share is really valuable. So I'm with you on this recommendation.
Yeah, like, if you thought the conversations that Pam and I had this couple last episodes like help you, That podcast is gonna do wonders for you.
Yeah.
And then another recommendation, which is the one that I mentioned before about breakthrough sessions. I got that from Kelly Walker, who's also known as the Queen of Manifesting. She's actually dropping that title because she's changing her business a bit of work. She's gonna be focusing on public speakers and things like that. But she has so many resources available. And manifesting is something that I know a lot of people don't like, because it can have an approach of a lot of people who do manifesting often don't take in account like different like privileges that some people might have. They often don't acknowledge like really like struggles that come from different like things related to society. Like they don't take in account like poverty levels or like where you're in the world and things like that. But there are some really good tools that you can use regardless, like these breakthrough sessions that Kelly teaches. And so she has a podcast called The Queen of Manifesting, and she also has a YouTube channel. And so you can learn, she talks about them. She talks in her channels about like how to have a breakthrough by yourself, how like you can like follow the steps. And she also offers to do breakthrough sessions with you, which is like guiding you through the whole breakthrough. So her website right now is thequeenofmanifesting.com, but I believe that's gonna change because she's changing her business name and her approach. But right now that's still where you can find it. Or you can just go on your favorite podcasting platform, and she's like on dozens of platforms, so she probably will be available there. Look for the Queen of Manifesting, Kelly Walker, and you can find more information about how to do your own breakthrough sessions. One thing that's interesting with breakthrough sessions is that even though you can do them yourself, and I like doing them with my journal so that I'm like writing just like whatever comes to my mind, if you can have a friend that you can do it with, it's really, sometimes when they ask the questions, your brain just reacts different. So if you have someone that you can try these exercises with, it might help you more. All right, we're moving on to our next section, which is, what are we up to? I'm gonna start, if you don't mind. I've been working a lot on my website. I've been showing some previews on Instagram about how things are looking. It's like, we're just going through the content, really finishing up content, setting up like final things. When you are a web designer, you feel a lot of pressure to have like a really cool looking website. So we're making it a really cool looking website, but very excited because we're pretty close. And we're also pretty excited because we're pretty much booked out through July with our VIP services, our Design in a Day packages. So I wanted to tell this like real quick a bit about other services that we do, because a lot of people just like know about our Design in a Day services because it's like the web design, brand design, and all those main services. But we actually have a couple of other smaller services that you don't have to book months ahead of time. We do website evaluations, which is you send us your website, you tell us what pages you want us to look through, and then a couple weeks later you receive a video where we're just like walking through those pages, doing an evaluation of like all the different things that could make your website better. Improve your user experience, have a better messaging, have a better flow. And so that's actually a very useful service, because like we're gonna tell you like what changes you should do, and you can go and do them yourself. Like you don't have to work with us afterwards unless you really want to. And then we also have our strategy days, which is an 8-hour Voxer access to us. Voxer is a walkie-talkie app where you can just like, you can send voice messages, you can text us, or you can send pictures. And so instead of having like a consultation call for an hour, where you get to talk to us and tell us like your questions, and then we answer and then it's over. You get 8 hours Voxer access where you can like ask us questions. We reply back on Voxer. You can go and implement them. You're going to have new questions and you have time to come and tell us about it. And so we have like 8 hours to just like bounce ideas back and forth about anything regarding your brand, your user experience, any new projects that you want to launch and you're like not sure like what system to use so that like the user flow is easier, like anything related to intuitive branding, user experience, WordPress, and even like software that we use like Tubsado, ActiveCampaign, the things that that we work on, you can come and ask us about it. So I just want to say like, just because our Design in a Day is booked through July, doesn't mean that we don't have ways to help people who are interested in working with us right now that could use like these smaller services that, even though they're smaller, they're actually a big help. So that's what I've been into. What about you, Pam?
So I am working and watching New Girl, basically. No. I've been watching a lot of New Girl. I love that show. I've been really busy with my part-time job. It's kind of like the high season. So also because I'm visiting family and having a good time. But I have a work to do on the mastermind, a lot of homework and things to like decisions to make and planning. So that is mostly what is ahead of me. I think I mentioned it before. But other than that, and just lettering, you know, for practice and the challenge, I don't have anything else going on. That's it. Just lettering. I have a collection of my bullet journal with a list of things I want to letter. So I'm making progress through them. And I have a few more for this month, related to your mindset and to your mental health and stuff like that. But that will be it.
Thanks for joining our conversation today.
We'd love to hear your take on this, so make sure to follow us on Instagram at @tusicasindesign with the number, or Facebook under the same name.
See you in social media.
Bye.
Bye.